I shall be reading the lesson text this evening, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
All right. Been a while, hasn't it? All right, fingers crossed, John. See if this works. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back in front of you once again. This doesn't have anything to do with the lesson. I'm just curious about my audience here a little bit. Did anybody or does anybody watch this soap opera, The Young and the Restless? I was just wondering. Okay, so we got a few that have watched it before. I haven't watched it. I just thought it sounded good for a sermon title. The closest thing I've ever watched to a soap opera was wrestling when I was a kid. And I have a favorite YouTube channel that I watch to relive that nostalgia. And whenever I play a video of his, I get told by my wife to put my earbuds in, that she doesn't like his voice. And I've been married for 8 days now, and I've learned two very important words. Yes, dear. Yeah. No knot on my head yet, and I like to keep it that way. But I chose this title for a very specific reason, and it seems to me, as I look and observe my generation and the generations that are coming into their own, they seem like they are more stressed than ever, they're more confused than ever, and they are more restless than ever. So I wanted to take a deeper look as to why that is. And what I have found is, today's society, it is always changing, and it is very confusing to me. If it's confusing to you, then you're not the only one. Things just aren't the same when they were when we were growing up. You know, everything is changing from technology to science, which within the past couple of years, it seems science has gone all topsy-turvy. I mean, I just can't keep up. And even something with technology, you know, I love learning new technology, but it changes so much so quickly that it's hard for me to keep up with. It's a joy for me to keep up with it, but that's not to say that it's not challenging. Believe me, you are not alone when you have difficulties with technology. I have them too, even though I love technology and as it's changing. But even our system of morals, as we observe the world around us, seems to be ever-changing. And it's hard to keep up with, and it just doesn't seem like things really make sense anymore. You look at our politicians, when you look at our school teachers, some of them, not all of them, per se, but you look at some of the more progressive teachings and policies that are around today. It's so hard to keep up with. It's very confusing, and it can be upsetting even. But as we know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Even Solomon, in all of his wisdom, said, "There's nothing new under the sun." And those words have never been more true. As people, we tend to stay the same as far as who we are and how we act. So in society, I wanted to see, where is God in all of this? You know, it's a question that we ask ourselves as we see things happening around us and we see all the things on the news or in social media. We tend to ask, where is God in all of this? Where is his part in all of this chaos and confusion? And it is a valid question to ask. But the more and more we look at the younger generations, we see that more are turning away from God and turning inward to themselves. One thing that we have to realize is that society is enticing generations to look on themselves as their own God. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I want to do, when I want to do it, whenever I want to do it, with whomever I want to do it with. It's all about what I want. The problem with that is there's a limit to that. There are just some certain things that we in ourselves just cannot do. For example, I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor. I'm no auto mechanic. I can change oil, but that's about the extent of my auto mechanic abilities. Whatever it is that we fall short in, there are just certain things that we in ourselves just cannot do on our own. And that's where this theology falls short. And if there is something that we cannot do, and we rely on ourselves for everything, where do we turn to? If we are just self-serving, then we're destined to come up short. There's just some things that we cannot do by ourselves. So if younger folks are looking to themselves and they're coming up short, why aren't they coming to church? Why aren't they seeking out an alternative? And it's a question that we've all asked ourselves at one point in time. Why are younger people just not coming to church? Well, here's a few answers for whatever they might want to come up with, or some of the excuses that I've heard. Some say they don't want to be judged when they walk in the door. But then I think to myself, the world doesn't judge you? With society's ever-changing system, there's no stability. There's no foundation. One day you could be accepted by society, and the next day you can be shunned. It seemed to me, why wouldn't you want to be somewhere where it's stable, where it hasn't changed and never will change, as far as theology, as far as our morals are concerned? Others say it doesn't allow for their type of lifestyle. And that may be true. We are not to be accepting of lifestyles that the Bible teaches against. And we have to stand firm in that. But that doesn't mean we can't love those who have a different lifestyle than us. Very often we're going to come up against people who live differently than we do. And part of that is we don't understand it. It's foreign to us. And we have to accept that they are different, but that doesn't mean we can't love them. And others will say, well, I'm just too far gone. I'm too much of a sinner to be saved. Well, we all know that's debunked. There's not a sin that the blood of Jesus can't cover. And we can stand a testament to that. So, if it's not church that they're turning to, what are they turning to? What is the alternative to church? It's not a very bright and peaceful place. You see, if you think about it, a world without God, you have to rely on your own self for everything. No one has the obligation to help you. There's no sense of stability or morals. You just go to work, and then you go home, repeat the process. And what's even scarier than that is, what happens when you die? Without God, that's it. That is truly a terrifying thought to have. To not have the peace and the comfort and the guarantee of something better on the other side. If it was me, I would definitely be looking for an alternative. That is just a reality I would not want to face. In a world without God, there is no standard. The normal is always changing. And if we watch the news or if we pay attention to social media to any extent, that is prevalent. I mean, in just the past few years, I didn't think that our society would be going in the direction that it is. And it's mind-boggling. And it's, you can't find peace in it. We see that younger generations are increasingly unhappy, unfulfilled, and ultimately lost as far as what can I do? I can't tell you how many younger people that I've talked to over the years that say that they really don't have an identity. They don't have a purpose. Like, they are searching adamantly for a place to belong, for a purpose. And the world just doesn't offer anything like that. And unfortunately, we see that if they don't find that purpose, they turn to other means. And depression is at the center of it. I am truly sad for this younger generation, because they are so lost and confused, and they don't have anywhere to turn to. So that begs the question, the important question: where do we come in? Where, as a body of Christ, do we step in and provide the alternative to what the world is offering? It's very simple. We have what the world is searching for. We have a guarantee that if we obey the gospel, that we have eternal life, that physical death is not the end. It's just the beginning of a beautiful eternity in heaven with God. What people ultimately want out of life is a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, and a sense of stability. With the world, you just don't get any of those things. Your life situation can change at the drop of a hat. We can have a job one day and not have it the next. We can have a house one day and have it burned down the very next day. And if it's the world that we are leaning on for that stability and purpose, it's going to be swept out from under the rug, from under us. But as a body of believers, we have so much more that we can stand firm in. We have that foundation and that stability and that sense of peace. And this is what Christianity has in spades and more. And not to mention, you know, I like things that aren't complicated, don't you? And we have a very simple gospel. And in that simplicity lies the beauty of it. So now we jump into our text, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. To give a little bit of background in chapter 11, John the Baptist is having doubts, and he's questioning if Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And even though he has his doubts, Jesus sings his praises. He says, No man born of woman has been as greater than of John the Baptist. Even in his moments of doubt, he knows where his faith truly lies. And in verses 25 through 30 is where we can offer that alternative. But beginning in verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" I don't know about you, but the wisdom of the world, it confuses me because it's always changing. And it seems like it has to be complicated and there has to be so many new rules and regulations, and everything just seems to always be changing and nothing will ever stay the same. And it's the same way with science. Not to say that science, we can't learn more about the world that we live in, but science seems to be changing a whole lot more than it did, you know, a few years ago. And morals are changing too. The standard with the world is always changing, because the world simply can't duplicate what God has perfected in his love. That's why it's always changing. Because the world will try to duplicate something that just cannot be duplicated. Thanks be to God that his love stays the same. And it has stayed the same yesterday, today, and it will be the same tomorrow. We've made mistakes, but he gave us a chance. And we'll continue to make mistakes. And thanks be to God that he allows us an opportunity to approach his throne for forgiveness. God made his love easy to understand. Where the world makes its sense of love and acceptance complicated. It may seem the world will love you one day and hate you the next. That much is what I have observed, at least in the time that I've prepared this lesson. And I'm sure you've noticed this over your lives, that the world doesn't love and cannot love the way God loves us. And even the wisdom of the world can't match God's wisdom. We find this in 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25. It says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of his age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." See, with the world's standards changing all the time, there's really no way that we can keep up with it. In other words, you're never going to meet the world's standards. I'm never going to meet the standards of the world. And from a Christian point of view, you know, that's okay. I know I'm loved by a creator who knew that I was going to mess up, who knew that I would need mercy and grace, and made that opportunity available for me. if it wasn't for God, I don't know if this life would be worth living. See, when there's no standard, there's no foundation, which leads to instability and negativity and restlessness. No one wants to be unstable. Everybody wants a sense of stability. Nobody wants to be anxious. Nobody wants to be depressed. But that's all the world's going to give to you. If we rely on the world for peace and love and stability, it's going to disappoint us every time. And the body of Christ is the only place that we have love and peace and stability. And not just a hope, a guarantee that if we're faithful, we have something better at the end. And continuing on, verse 20, it says, "All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." This is the kicker right here. This has to be our mantra. This has to be our mission. This is the alternative to the world right here. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I don't think the world can offer anything like that. If we're leaning on the world for something easy, for rest, then it's not going to happen. Sure, we may have these things temporarily, but they never last. Only through the love of Christ can we experience true rest. We have to be excited about this. If we aren't excited and just ready to show just how much we are loved, then the world will never see it. When the world has no real foundation or stability, why wouldn't they turn to something or someone who offers it? If they see how at peace we are with everything going on around the world, if they see how much we love each other and in turn show our love towards them to providing the things that they need, why wouldn't they be flocking to us? But the thing is, we have to be able to show that love. And that may not be easy, but it is worthwhile, is not? To show how much we have been loved and the amount of grace and mercy that has been given to us, why wouldn't we want to share that with others? We have to be willing to do it, or else the world is just going to be darker, sadder, and nothing's going to change. We have to be able to show the love of the Father. So, how do we do it? The Christian lifestyle does contrast the world. You know, we read back in 1 Corinthians that the wisdom of God seems like folly to the world. They don't understand why we do what we do. And they might chastise us for it. They might hate us for it. They may call us names. And we see on the media that they most certainly do. We're not going to avoid it. But that doesn't mean we can't show them more love as opposed to responding with more hate. Because the world at this time, more than any other time that I've observed in my lifetime, needs love more than any. Our calling is radically different than that of the world. If we are faithful, there's no way we can hide that light. And why not be a light in a dark place? The darkness is a scary place to be. Why not offer a light to those who need it? Why not be a source of hope, of love, compassion, sincerity? Because this might be the only place and the only people that they may experience that from. Especially with the younger generations. Growing up in a single parent home. Growing up in places where they are hated and they are confused and scared. We have to be that beacon of light, because they may not have any other sources of light to turn to. So when the world seeks to rely on itself, show the world how fulfilling it is to serve rather than being served. Because that's why Christ came after all. It says in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he did it anyway. While we were still enemies of God, he saw it right to stand in our place and pay the price for our sins. The world needs that example of love. We need to be that example of love. We don't deserve it, but we definitely need to be the ones to show it. Christ did set the example. All we have to do is follow it. So how do we find rest? Do we want to serve God? Or do we want to serve the world? Do we want to serve a Creator who made us lovingly and carefully and knows us better than anybody? Or do we want to serve the world who will constantly let us down? Who offers the longest lasting fulfillment? The world says that they have the answer to life in many ways, shapes, or forms. But how far do those get you? How far does the world really take you? Without God, it has a definite end, and that's it. But with God, we have a guarantee of eternity, of peace, rest. Who offers peace and stability? Only God can. Only God can offer permanent peace and stability. Who offers real love? The lost of this generation is looking for love no matter what. We have to be that source, because they won't get it from the world. So we know the love of Christ and what he's done for us and continues to do for us. But it's up to us to show the world what he's done for us. And like I've said a couple of times before, the world has no real sense of lasting love. It may offer a temporary solution, but that's all it is temporary. And the world has no real sense of love when everything in the world changes from one day to the next. If we rely on the world, we're never going to have rest. We're never going to have peace. We're never going to have stability. We're never going to have lasting fulfillment. And we know where we get all these things from. We have to show the world that this is the only lasting alternative to peace and stability. We have to show the love that the Father has shown us. And that's my message for you this evening. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't experienced that love, we'd like to make that opportunity for you to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To get that gift of love that the world just cannot duplicate. And if you're in need of prayers because you've lost that sense of love, we're eager to pray with and for you. We want you to know that you are loved and that you are important to us. If you have need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Tender is calling us home. He will.